Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to They Overcame. I am your host, Billy Burns, and it's with heavy hearts that we're come on this broadcast today with the tragedy that happened in Connecticut. And we're just going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we just bless your holy name right now. We give you honor. We give you glory. Lord, we lift you up. Your word said that if we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. Father, now, in this time of peril, in this time of sorrow, we come to you. We ask you, Lord, to take control of the atmosphere. We speak over the atmosphere now in the name of Jesus. You said whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So we bind the hand of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak a healing in this land. We speak comfort. We speak peace. Oh God, we speak what is needed in the land is you. And Father, we just lift you up. We lift you up now. We lift you up now, Father. We ask you to bless the broadcast today. We hold each and every listener up this day. We hold our guests up this day. Father, we say, have your way. It is for your glory and for your honor that we are here, that we are doing this now. We thank you, Lord, because when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what to say, you allow your spirit to control. So take control of this broadcast now, Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you, we thank you, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to say to the listeners that even though this horrible thing has happened in Connecticut, God is still in control. He's still in control. And the Bible says that 1,000 shall fall by my right hand and 10,000 by my left hand, but it not shall not come near my dwelling place. And how do we assure that it won't come by our dwelling place? It's with prayer. It's with seeking God. It's with hiding in his presence. It's with doing the things of God, drawing men unto God to let them know how to hide and protect themselves and their families. I was talking to the guest a little while ago, and we were talking about how over Facebook, a lot of people are saying that we need to get prayer back in the school, and we may never be able to get prayer legally back in the school, but pray over your children in the morning. Anoint their heads with oil. Pray over yourselves. Pray over the school. Teach your children to pray. That's where the protection is going to come from. And right now, I'm just going to ask my husband if he has a few words that he wants to say to us.
Good morning, and God bless everyone. And just as my wife has mentioned, our hearts are heavy about the goings-on that have happened on yesterday. And but as I begin to hear what she was saying, I am in total agreement that we need to always cover our homes, our children, and everyone who we love in prayer. My wife is your host is a school bus driver. And every morning I have the privilege of being able to see her off to work, actually escorting her all the way to her bus. And before she gets started, we cover the schools, every member of that, everyone that rides that bus, their homes, and every school in our area. We cover with the blood for protection. And, you know, instead of being so concerned about bringing prayer back in the schools, into the schools, what if every child before they left home were just covered with prayer? Well, prayer would be in the school, not the words that would be said in some ceremonial capacity, but just the spirit of prayer would walk through those doors. And what a power that would be for the schools and for our nation. And let's just continue to uphold those families, that the Lord will comfort them. The only thing that can comfort them now is the Lord. Our words can't do anything. We felt the compassion in the speech by the president, but those words, while appreciated, only a word from God will comfort those families. So let's pray. Let's pray for that word for those families. And I just thank God for this time, this broadcast, knowing that we have testimonies of overcoming. And I just thank God for our host, and just bless everyone that is listening, and just tell you to just kind of hold on to your seats, because powerful words come from this broadcast. God bless you this morning.
Thank you, honey. That's such an encouraging word. And now our guest is Mrs. Shanette Swan Jones. Shanette is a native of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and she claims Memphis as her second home. Tennessee is not only where Shanette's vocal, blues, and jazz roots are linked, but it also carries a history with writing origin, poetry club, creativity association, city writers keep Shanette. I'm sorry, my phone keeps cutting off. Active on the community college, Shanette majored. Majored in I'm sorry. My phone keeps the light keeps going out, so I'm not able to get it, but Shanette is on the line, and we're gonna ask her to continue reading her bio for me. Shanette, are you there?
Hi, Billy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm sorry, my phone is acting up today, and it keeps going in the word. So did you hear where I left off? Finish it for me, please.
I majored in vocal performance while writing for newspaper staff, and in the year 2010, I released my first national published work in the anthology Home Again, Stories of Restored Relationships by award-winning best-selling author Wanda B. Campbell. And she is I'm proud to release my new novel, Uncovered. And today, I serve the Raleigh-Durham area as a community chaplain, a motivational speaker, and a community activist advocating for women's rights through the Interact organization. I'm married to musical pianist Stephen Jones, and we have two wonderful boys. And the book Uncovered is available through Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and my website, and my publisher's website, pulsepub.net.
Okay, thank you so much, Jeanette. I'm so excited to have you here today. And like I was saying, I'm just a little heavy because of the activities in the world today. And I know you having two sons are a little heavy about the situation also.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tragic. But on a lighter note, I'm so excited. I've watched you and your husband and loved you. And your, I don't know your younger son, but your older son just drew to my son, and he just loved Chris. And it was such a joy, you know, getting to know you guys.
Thank you.
But so not surprised, because I know that you're a creative woman, and I've seen you and heard you sing. You have a beautiful voice and dance, and that's not something that you put down here. Are you still dancing?
I am. I'm still dancing. I teach dance maybe every 3 or 4 months to a group of women. We do a class called Ladies Night Out, and it's a hip-hop dance class.
Oh, okay. Oh, I have to look into that.
It's fun.
I have to look into that. Good exercise. Okay, well, as I said, this is Mrs. Shanette Swan Jones, and she has written an awesome book called Uncovered. And it's a book of healing. It's a book of restoration. Tell us a little bit about your. First of all, tell us a little bit about your family, your sons, and your wonderful husband.
Well, I have two boys, and their names are Tyler. He's 11. And my youngest is James. He's 4. And, of course, Mr. Jones. We've been married for 13 years, and it's amazing that it's been that long already, but 13 years, and our boys are such a blessing to us. We really look forward to spending time with them because they are entertaining. You know, having sons, that it's just amazing. It never, ever is a dull or dry moment with them. Always trying to perform for us. You might have seen recently I posted on my Facebook how my youngest son, James, asked me if I could purchase love potion from Walmart so that he could make the girl in his preschool class fall in love with him. So I'm just like, oh, my goodness, these boys keep us on our toes. But Stephen and I love them so much, and we're praying, like you said, with everything going on in Connecticut. It makes us want to draw closer to them and make sure we keep prayer in our home. And make sure, like you said earlier when we talked, keep it where our sons know what it is to pray. Teach them.
Yes,
really.
That is so important. You know, I believe that our children can come to know God at a younger age. It's been so much that, you know, they live on our prayer and they live on, you know, us knowing God, but God, in the Bible, it says, from my youth, you know,
right,
that know God. And so that's how we need to, in this society that we live in now, it's vitally important that our children have a relationship with God so that when they get, you know, God will use them.
Right.
God will use them. You know.
That's right.
And that's what we want. We're here to have children, and it always saddens me when I hear young women say in the church that they don't want to have children. And you know, I'm a little more temperate now, but I used to rebuke them sharply.
I bet you did.
How dare you say that? You know, but now, you know, wisdom, I just tell them, I said, you know, first of all, it's such a joy and a gift from God to have a child. But secondly, we have to have children because we have to supply the world with saints.
There
and
you go.
And saints be saints. You
exactly.
know, we have to have children to combat the. I look at the schools, and like my husband said, I'm a school bus driver. I look at the schools, and I see, well, now I'm doing elementary school, but
prior I did high school and middle school, and to see some of the kids get on and they study, I guess that's how you say it, Gothic.
Right.
You know, they come with the black nails and
right.
the black lips and, you know, the black clothes. And I'm
exactly.
like, oh, my God. You know, so we have to have our children to be able to say, you know, but I know God. You
right,
know?
And it's so tempting for them to not, to even our Christian children, it's so tempting for them to want to be a part of that. My oldest is only 11, but he has already wanted to wear his spike belt, spike bracelets. He's already wanting to listen to music that gets a little crazy into that kind of stuff. So you hit it face on. As soon as he hit middle school, instant desire
yeah.
to be a part of that kind of crowd. So we had to shut it down fast, but in a way that it didn't look like we were taking away his own desire to express himself. We just had to, you know, gently guide, sometimes not so gently, but, you know, it's easy. It's so easy to want to be in the next thing that's going on with those poor babies. They want to be a part. So
exactly.
It's hard. It's hard for us to make sure we stay on it and keep prayer in the forefront.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book.
Okay.
Uncovered. Oh, my God. It's such a testimony, Jeanette, how you are unafraid to, and we have to be an open book. The Bible says we are written epistles.
Right.
And people should be able to read us. If everybody covers and everybody is afraid to let people know what God has delivered them out of, how will the next person know that he can do it?
Indeed, exactly how. And you're so right, because I always wanted other people to share their testimonies with me. And it was always something I was looking for. I always wanted to hear a story, and I wanted to hear their story. So sometimes people thought I was being nosy, but I wanted to see, well, how did you get where you are? Or, you know, what did you go through? Did you and your husband experience any problems, or do you have any troubles with your kids? And I found that people don't really care to share it. They don't. They want to put the pretty part out there, but they don't ever like telling the bad.
Right. And so many of us are hurting because we feel like we're isolated. Nobody else is going through this.
Right.
You know, I haven't heard anybody's testimony. I haven't heard, you know, that I can recover from this, because, like you said, everybody wants to put the pretty on.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, Uncovered is a fiction novel. However, it was inspired by my own testimonies, and then the testimonies that I experienced watching other people in my own life. But the fiction novel Uncovered is basically about a woman who, her name is Minister Stephanie Hall, and she's really, really believing God and praying, and she loves journaling. And so she journals all the time about her prayers to God concerning her husband. She desires for her husband to show her intimacy, and specifically sexual intimacy. They're not connecting sexually, and she can't figure out why he's so distant. And she prays, and eventually she gets incredibly tired of believing God and listening to others who want to give her advice, and she just takes everything in her own hands, and it's a downward spiral from there. She gets into an adulterous affair, and it's an incredible story, because there's so many stories about lust and all of that stuff and temptation, but this story digs into the root of why people fall into these things. And so instead of just entertaining people with a juicy novel, it's all of the drama that people want to read. However, the book goes deep into the questions of why. Why was he hurting? Why didn't he connect to her? What was it that stopped him? And not just he was interested in another woman, but childhood roots and things that linked him, that he was linked to, that totally blocked his connection with his wife.
Oh, yes. I didn't, I must confess, have not read the book, and I am going to order it, but you say that it's something that will be an easy read, but for some people, it will uncover, which is the title, some of the hurts that they've had.
Right.
And I believe, I didn't read all of your reviews, but I've read some of your reviews and how people are saying, you know, that it really has helped them. That's a testimony, Shanette. That is what this program is about, testimonies, testifying how God can deliver, how God still loves us. You know, prior to now, in our forefathers, they beat us down. If you did something wrong, you know, God is standing with a stick over you, waiting for you to do something wrong. You know, but God, our God is a loving God.
Yes, exactly.
And he wants to help us. And he already knew that we were going to go through this.
Right.
You know? And that's the amazing thing. And he still loves us.
That's so true.
And he still loves us. He still loves us. I am so proud of you. You're an extraordinary woman, and I'm blessed that you decided that you would honor us with your presence. And I know that I've done a lot of talking, but I'm just so, I guess I'm so heavy, you know, with what's happening in the world that I'm just over talking to you. I want to give you a chance to talk a little. So let's see, let me ask you some of your questions. This is new to me, but I'm so enjoying this. So your book is not just for sheer Christian entertainment, and your book is just not for Christians. It's for everybody, right?
That's so true. It's definitely not just for Christians. I wrote it in a way that anyone could relate to this story and at the end experience God's love, whether they've ever been in a church, whether they've ever had a pastor or a praying family member. I do notice that a lot of times when I read Christian fiction books, I feel like sometimes they're just overly Christian for me. And I know there's no such thing as overly Christian, but I guess overly religious, that I'm reading it from the perspective of what if I wasn't a believer and didn't understand what this phrase or that scripture meant. And so I tried to keep my story simple enough to where anybody could understand it, because it's dealing with a very realistic issue, marriage. There's no one on this earth, if they haven't, you know, that doesn't have some kind of understanding of what marriage is. If they're grown and lived long enough, they've seen one, they've experienced one. And so it deals with the issues that we most all deal with in marriage: temptation, loneliness, hurt, rejection. At times, marriage is not all peaches and cream. Most of the time, I don't know anybody's that is. So Uncovered deals with that. So no, it's not just entertainment. It is a message in the story. However, it is entertaining. I mean, I can't deny that it's a page turner. That's one of the things that people keep saying when they send me their comments and reviews, is that I could not put the book down. You can't put something down unless it's entertaining. You know, people want to hear about all the drama and gossip that goes on in the world. So I figure you got to give it to them, but in a way that it pulls them in and then wraps around their heart and ministers to them.
Yes, it's all about ministry. It's
right.
All about
it is.
Testimony. Yes. Amen. I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud of you. And you have an extraordinary husband that is a musician, but he's just not a musician. Does he write songs?
He writes. He does write music. And he, more than a musician, he is a good coach. a lot of times Stephen and I, we're working on our own music, and we do jazz, and we also do contemporary Christian. And when we're in our home studio, there are so many times where he will coach me through the whole session, or he's very quiet. So when he speaks and gives you some advice, you know to listen to it. And it's wisdom. It's wisdom in vocal coaching. It's wisdom in life. So I value him not just as a musician, but just as somebody in the music industry that I would probably rely on and go to whether he were my spouse or not.
He is a quiet man, but they always say still waters run deep.
That's so true.
My husband is a quiet man also, and I just thank God for him. Well, I know that you have someplace else to go, and I'm so happy that you joined us today. And maybe this testimony was not what some of our listeners are used to, but it has been a testimony, and God is glorified by it. Now, let us know where we can purchase your book from, Jeanette, so that those that are listening can get their hands on this book.
The book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, my own website, which is www.JeanetteJones.com, and it's also available through my publisher's website, which is PulsePublishing.net. I'm sorry, that's PulsePub.net. So if people want an autographed copy of the book, then they should go to my website, because that's how I can immediately see that they're requesting the book and I can sign something to them. But if they just want to get it quick on their e-reader or their Nook, they can go on Barnes & Noble and order it on their Nook, and they can go on Amazon and order on their e-readers. So it's pretty available right now. I'm excited.
It's awesome, and you've been going around doing book signings and promoting your book. Are you going to be somewhere in the near future that maybe one of the listeners or some of the listeners be able to go and meet you personally?
I will. We're doing, we're working on our lineup right now. Most of it's going to begin after the holidays. But our first event is still not set for our exact location, but it's going to be a discussion event for the book. Lots of the ladies and gentlemen who've read it are going to be coming together to meet with me, and we're probably going to do a restaurant. So I'm just going to be posting more information about that on my website and on Facebook also, and you can find that on author Jeanette Jones, the Facebook page author Jeanette Jones, or my regular Facebook, which is just Jeanette Jones. The rest of the details of the following tour dates, I haven't locked in stone yet. But that one is for sure the first weekend in January or the second, whichever the fifth or sixth is, I can't remember. But that's the weekend that we're doing our discussion. And that's going to be really exciting because there's so many women who have already, expressed a desire to just talk about what they read. So, and then also to hear my own personal testimony about what inspired Uncovered. That's the most important thing about my husband and I's own struggles. So that's the part that I'm looking forward to personally sharing with everyone.
Okay, and such a testimony that you can go through something in your marriage, and a lot of people are just saying, forget it. I don't want it anymore. But God is a God of restoration if we give him a chance.
Oh, yeah.
If we give him a if we you know, really have a desire to please him, because God hates divorce. So even though we go through our struggles, he doesn't put us down when we sin or when we do something that's not pleasing to him. And so we should have the same, stick-to-itness in our marriage, which we don't have anymore.
Right.
Jeanette, so I'm just so blessed that you are open enough to, you know, put it out there so that people can see there is restoration. And not just for young people. It so saddens me when I hear about people that have been married for 30, 25 years and they divorce.
Yeah. That's what you hear about a lot more lately, too. I'm seeing that one happening even more than the 5 years, 3 years, just 30 years in, like you said, and then yeah. Giving up.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad. But,
which is why I'm glad that, you know, the things that we've endured, unfortunately, you know, hit us right in the beginning of our relationship. But this gives us the rest of the 30 years to get it right and rebuild. Because I would just hate to see my sons graduating college, and then I'm sharing with them, you know, my husband and I are leaving each other. That's not in my future plans. I am not accepting that. And my husband and I, you know, we've worked hard and are still working to try to make sure that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're 27 years in, and
wow.
It's not always, you know, peaches and cream, like you said. And but God, and with a determined mind that we're not, that's not an option.
Right.
So, God, what are you going to do?
right, exactly. It's not an option. I think people are deciding if they want their marriage, they're making that decision. This is not an option, so what are we going to do? And when you make that decision, you probably make a whole lot of other dumb mistakes in that process, but eventually you come to all of the things that you do need to do to make it stick, because it has to be a decision that this is not an option. We're not separating. We're not leaving.
Right. Take that off the table.
Right.
But I've heard people go into their marriage saying, well, if this doesn't work, and I'm like, no. Stop. Right.
Right.
God hates divorce. So if, like I said earlier, we mess up, God doesn't dismiss us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
So you're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You know, some are going to be larger than others. But still, it's not an option.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm not, he doesn't understand me, or he doesn't get me, or, you know, I'm tired of the way he's treating me. But then again, we don't. And share this with me. Is it through prayer that you guys have come to the decision that, you know, we're going to stick together? Has it been through prayer? Has it been through the religious things that we do to make our marriage?
Prayer, I think it is through prayer, and it is also through, as you said earlier, just a conscious decision. I watched a movie last night that I think every marriage should watch, every married couple. It's called Hope Springs. Awesome movie about an older couple in their 50s that are struggling in their marriage. And one of the things that the counselor told them is that when someone has a deviated septum and their nose is blocking their airway and they're breathing their nose, the doctor has to break the nose in order to heal the nose. And they said, and I thought, what? Well, that's not a good reference. But he said, but you can't do it quickly. You can't do it slowly. You have to just do it. And one of the things that I just gathered from that is that, you know, a lot of times we wanna pray and gradually get things on track. But it's about just a quick decision. You can't hurry up and break that nose slow. You got to go ahead and do it quick so that we can get some airflow going. And so it's the same when you're making a marriage decision. You can't say, well, let's gradually work on this. You got to make a quick decision. Are we in or are we out? Are we are we going to love or not? Because love isn't a feeling, it's an action. You're either going to or you're not going to. You're either going to decide to get her flowers and show her love and show her respect or acknowledge her, or you're not. You know, you're going to have to decide that you're going to cook him dinner and listen to him talk or encourage him, or you're not. So you can't just work yourself into every little thing slow. Some things are just quick decisions. It got to be made right away. And so for us, it was prayer, and it was a consistent decision-making that this is what we're going to do. And your feelings don't line up with that all the time. But the decision has to be made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when we make that decision, then God steps in.
Yes.
And he's able to work.
Yes, exactly. Once that decision has been made, once God can see that we are ready to give him that yes, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do, then it is with your prayers and your communion with God that he can touch your heart, you know, that he's able to reach our hearts and we can hear him. But we've got to say yes to him first, and then through our prayers, he can guide us. But I would never say that it's without prayer. Better have some prayer.
Absolutely. And together. And I believe that is the issue with some marriages. They don't do things together. I see where you were saying that you have date nights and you have times when it's just the two of you coming together. It doesn't have to be anything expensive. Just spending time together.
Right.
Just, you know, getting
right.
to know one another, getting to enjoy one another's company.
Right.
Because that's really marriage is companionship.
Yep, that's right.
And so when we have children, you know, we bring children into the equation, especially in the early years. The wife is more concentrated on the children, and
right.
It causes a friction with the husband because of the mothering that we
right.
do.
Mm-hmm. All
but,
of those play a factor.
Then it comes a time when we say, okay, the children are up, you know, let's build our lives together. And that's what you and Stephen are doing with your date nights and, you know, spending time together, spending time as a family, and then spending time separate.
Right,
you know,
definitely.
Absolutely.
And it's funny you said that, separate, because, I mean, I've actually been chastised from friends or family who believe that there's nothing good about us doing things separately. Now, I am an out person. I've got girlfriends. We get together. We like to go out and do things together. And it's very healthy. However, a lot of people believe that that's just like the worst sin ever. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't go there. My friends and I went salsa dancing for her birthday, and they thought, you should never do that. You should never go anywhere without your husband. And I thought, well, golly, what in the world? What we do if me and my husband didn't have separate times to go enjoy ourselves without each other? Because when I'm refreshed, I can go back home and be a blessing. When I'm stressed out looking at the kids all day and looking at him, I'm not getting ready to come back and be nice.
A lot of times we can't.
It's not going to happen.
I thank God that my husband has been the kind that will allow me to get away sometimes. I'm originally from Chicago, and he allows me to go home and visit family and
right.
you know, friends there, and then when I come back, I'm happy. You know,
right? Exactly. It's like, okay, we can start again. Let's go. But you have to have that break. You have to have that time away. When he has friends that say, hey, Steve, you want to go somewhere, such and such, there's a band playing, and let's go hear the band. I say, go. Or there's the fight is on, and we want to go to my friend's house, we're going to watch the fight. Go, please. Because you come back excited about the fellowship that you've had, and then you can now be more refreshed to deal with me and to love me, and not just like, oh my goodness, I got to see this same woman every single day, all day.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, I've tried to end this several times. I guess I'm like the preachers when they say, okay, this is the, you know, coming to the end. They preach for another 30 or 40 minutes.
No, I think you've been doing an awesome job. It's okay. It's something that we have to talk about, so hard to end the discussion. I will say, though, okay, before you end it, I would like to share the extent, the full testimony, so that your listeners can hear, instead of just hearing spots and pieces of, you know, what is the testimony of Shanette Jones and why was the book written. I would like to leave it sharing the testimony.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was inspired to write the book Uncovered for various reasons. In the year 2001, I witnessed the fall of a marriage that I personally believed in and aspired to be like. They were a couple, God-fearing, anointed, and together they could preach as a team so powerfully. I admired them, and although knowing them personally, I knew and saw many flaws, I never stopped believing in their love and their purpose. And this couple was somewhat idolized, not because of their romantic life, but because of their faith. So when I saw the wife become lonely, and when I saw the husband becoming distant, and when I saw the wife become desperate, and when I saw the husband become oblivious, I saw the wife become cold, and likewise for the husband. It frightened me. I loved them so much, so to see them going through this was really scary. She found love in the arms of another man who adored her. He celebrated her. He was crazy about her, and she ate it up. She loved it, and she was not in any way willing to budge on it. No Bible verse, no preaching could change her broken heart. She was so sure that her husband didn't love her anymore, and so happy with the man that she was in love with. And I judged her harshly. I judged her so harshly. I didn't understand her actions. I was furious. I was angry with her. And I always used to ask her, what did God ever do to you for you to go do something so terrible? And I thought that surely it could have worked out. Counseling, prayer, something, anything, but not an affair. And their marriage unraveled right before my eyes. And like a child, I think it pretty much traumatized me. I was a new bride myself, already struggling with similar feelings, so it was always scary to watch whatever her next move was, because I knew it was my personal feelings too that she was having. So loneliness, doubt, insecurity, I was struggling with all of that, and my husband was struggling with fear, past hurts, and his own self-worth, struggling to understand who he was. And we were almost a mirror image of the couple that I adored and looked up to. And our intimacy, Stephen and I, our intimacy was really stifled. Our connection was on and off, and I really began to walk in fear and no longer in faith at all. Everything was a scary thing for me. I always thought, we're going to go down. We're going to lose. We're not going to make it. We were not an arguing couple, but rather, what I say, a silently suffering couple. A churching couple with no intimate worship toward one another once we returned home from church. Number one, because we were always in church. Our entire date life consisted of church, Bible studies, services, prophetic conferences, everything that you can think of. We were at churches. When we were single and even just dating each other, that's how it was. And the moment we said I do, my husband and I were either in the pews or in the pulpits. And young, without marital guidance, we thought we were doing the right thing, taking care of God's house first, singing, speaking, playing, leaving little time for romantic connection. And this is not to blame the church, but to acknowledge that we needed guidance and a wise voice saying, you don't have to be at everything. Go home, look at your wife. Go home and cook for your husband. However, adding that to the fact that childhood hurts had not yet been healed, and in my husband's case, marriage had not even been seen. His father left when he was a baby. His mother remained single, no dating. My parents were married still, but with a lot of unspoken hurt. So finally adding our differences, very opposite people, he and I, it was a recipe for our marriage to fail. And Stephen and I both committed adultery. The most devastating thing one can do to a marriage is to find fulfillment in another person. And I'll never forget, you know, Pastor Dave McLaughlin, and I remember he said one time, anything you put before your spouse is adultery. Job, whatever, yes. Anything you put before your spouse becomes adultery. And I just sat and listened to him say that, like, oh, well, you know, well, that's nice to know, but I didn't know just how serious that was at the time. But right. It is the easiest thing to slip right into. And I saw my steps becoming identical to the woman that I judged so terribly. Finally understanding her pain and praying to God that no one else would judge me and love me and help me instead, that's what I was hoping for someone to extend the kind of mercy that I had not extended. I went to leaders, Stephen talked to leaders, and honestly speaking, it was as if we were mentioning an issue that people are so afraid to touch that they barely touched it at all. Nobody wanted to deal with it. The ones that did try to help us, it was like they were talking to deaf ears because we were so deep in our sin that we couldn't truly hear anybody. And only God could reach in the pit that we were in to pull us out. It was a year after our affairs that my heart had become so heavy with guilt. I wanted freedom, and I didn't care if it meant losing Stephen. In my opinion, I'd already lost him, so I didn't care. So I told him I wanted to confess something to him. And before I could tell what I had done, he took the lead as a man and as a husband, acknowledging that if I had truly fallen from grace and from him, he would assume responsibility because of his own actions. And then Stephen confessed to his affair first. And we were heartbroken. I listened, and he painfully listened to me, and it was the hardest day of our marriage. And even more difficult was living together after the truth had come out. But, Miss Billy, brick by brick by brick, we have rebuilt. When it took marriage classes, it took prayer, it took, like you said, the romantic weekends to get away, it took date nights, and it is not a fairy tale. It is God's redemption, but it is not with some perfect love story like you'd see on a movie. It's still hard today. But yes. It took confession and acceptance and forgiveness, counseling, and walking in the real meaning of love, not the sprinkly dust, but the action of trying. And today, my sons, we just decided they're not going house to house. There's not going to be a dad's house, mom's house. They will watch us. They will watch our entire marriage and watch us try to endure all things, like Corinthians 13 says. It was not just about saving our marriage. It was about saving our line of generations after us. This was what it was about. It was about breaking that generational curse. It was about breaking a divorce. And now it's about breaking affairs and adultery. And that's it. So this is the authentic, true testimony. This is not the exact story in Uncovered. Uncovered is a little different, but this is the testimony that birthed the book. That's what we endured. That's what God has brought us from. And that's why we're on this show today, to share with other people that it takes God, and it takes confession, and it takes love.
Truth. God requires truth on the inward part. And until we have truth, Jeanette, until we can, you know, honestly say that when you and Stephen confessed with one another, that broke so many chains that the enemy had placed on you to pull you apart, to be able to say, another marriage failed, and God, you have failed. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about us. You know, it's not about us. It's about God and the enemy and their contending with one another. And not, you know, like, I hear people say that, and I hear people say, you know, that it sounds, I don't even know the word, but it sounds comical, you know, like God and we're standing on one side, God standing on one side, and the devil standing on one side, and
right.
we're saying, beating us up. But it's not about that, because God loves us and the enemy hates us. He hates us. We don't realize, because of the sparkly things that are in front of our eyes, that
right.
he really hates us.
Right.
You know,
right.
He hates us, and his main purpose is to bring our demise so that God looks like a failure.
That's right. That's right.
But God is not a failure. And we don't have to be failures. Our marriages don't have to be failures. Our children do the things that they go through, but they are not failures, because God has a purpose for each one of us. And I am so blessed that you're walking in your purpose, Jeanette Jones.
Thank you.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're an awesome woman. You know what I've seen of you, just an awesome personality, and so bubbly and just so full of life.
Thank you.
I just love that about you. I love that about you. And it's so funny that Stephen is such a soft-spoken person. He smiles, but he doesn't say a lot. And you guys compliment one another.
Right. So different. So different from each other.
But complimenting.
But it's needed, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am so blessed. And we don't have any other callers on the line that I can see. We may have callers, but I can't see them. But I know that God has been glorified in this session today. I know that when people call back, and they can go to hear this, if you're on the net and you want to go back, or you want someone else, oh, my sister needs to hear this, or my cousin or my girlfriend needs to hear this, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. New Destiny, look for New Destiny Ministries. The host is Evangelist Adrienne Bernard.
Okay.
And you just stroll down to this date, December 15th, 2012. And you will be able to hear this awesome testimony. And Sister Bernard is on the radio now. I'm going to bring her on. Sister Adrienne Bernard, are you there?
Yes, I am, Minister Burns. I'm here. How are you this morning?
I am good. I am good. Before we close, I just said, Jeanette, thank you so much. And if you have to run, you can go. You can go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Billy. I appreciate it.
Okay, I love you.
Okay, love you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that testimony?
Yes, I did. I signed on a little late, but I did certainly enjoy the testimony of the author. I needed the correct spelling of her name.
Okay. Oh, Beth, let me, so that people can look up her book if they want to have it here. You can go to her name, her website is www.shenettejones.com. And let me say it again, just make sure that you get to hear it. I hear so many times when I'm trying to get something over the radio, they say it so fast that you can't always get it. But it's shenettejones.com. And you'll be able to get her book there. Or you can go to www.shenettejones.com. paulsepub.net. That's paulsepub.net. And it's www.paulsepub.net. You can also get her book on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon. Just go to Amazon and purchase her book. But if you want an autograph edition of her book, you go to her website.
Okay. Well, Evangelist, just tell us a little bit. I know that you guys this week had a blessed time in the Lord. Just tell us a little bit about your meeting on last week.
Oh, we had a wonderful meeting. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord was in that place. We had a beautiful time and was able to introduce some of our friends in the gospel to some of those that had not met, and it was just a wonderful blessing to just come together and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we become judgmental, and if you're not in the denomination I am in, then, you know, God is not moving in your life and he's not doing anything great for you. You know, we have a select group of people that think God has just favored them. And, you know,
yeah,
you're the only ones that's going to make it in, but my Bible tells me something different. So it was just a time to come together and network and just find out where our other brothers and sisters in Christ is and what they're doing in their ministry, where we can come together and have some true fellowship and not come together for no strife or no debates and all of this foolishness. Just come together and worship the Lord with spirit, in spirit and truth, because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And I don't care how many denominations we have, the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So if we can put all of these doctrinal differences aside and just love unconditionally without any hidden agendas, you know, and without having a fear of somebody maybe coming over to your church, all of the foolish stuff that we do as we propose, I say, to be Christians. You know, being a Christian is just not a denomination. It's living a life, and I certainly have enjoyed the young lady that was on. Let your listeners, let them stay on to the end. You never know. Someone might have some questions for the author, and if they sign off early, then they can't answer. They can't get their questions answered. So I certainly have enjoyed the interview and also the testimony that she gave. You know, it's so many kinds of suffering that we do. There's physical suffering, mental suffering, and spiritual suffering. So we suffer, and this is not a way that we're just going to just walk by on flowery beds of ease. You're going to have to go through something to maintain. You're going to have to go through something to endure to the end. So I just have enjoyed the session on this morning, and I certainly commend you for the job that you're doing and bringing your audience wonderful men and women of God that have gone through all kinds of travail. So it's a blessing to just be a part of your ministry and be a part of this segment. God bless you, Minister Bird.
Amen. I just have determined in my heart that it's God all the way for me. We often walk in fear. Not all of us, but so I have walked in fear of the things that I know that God has called me to do. And I was just sharing with Jeanette before the broadcast that it's with fear and trembling that I'm on the broadcast every week. I'm so anxious right before it starts, but then once we start talking, you know, it gets a little easier. I thank God that you have given us, my husband and I, this opportunity. You know, I feel like we need to hear that God is still doing great things and small things. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland this week, and he was saying how sometimes we overlook the small things, you know, that mm-hmm. God has done for us. And I just want to give an opportunity for people to call in, and I'm not going to always have a guest, but when the Lord drops somebody on my heart, you know, that I feel like will be a blessing to the broadcast. But I just want to encourage people to call in and give your testimony. You may not have a big testimony like Sister Jeanette or Minister C.C. Richards or Dr. Carruthers Patterson. You may not have big testimonies like that, or Evangelist Bernard, but you can give God a praise. I know that back home when we had testimony service, and the testimony service would run so long, and everybody would still be standing, a lot of people still standing, and then they say, okay, we have to end testimony service, so we're going to give you, we just want one word. We just want you to say one word for God. Oh, my God. That would be so powerful. Sometimes we get into that one word and we say glorious and we say loving and the church would go up. I remember testimony service, and I know that, you know, we have time restraints now and people are so conscious of time, so they're not so willing to stay, you know, to hear, you know, the testimonies of the saints. But God said that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I thank God for you, Evangelist Bernard, for just giving us the opportunity to, you know, come on the air and give the people of God the opportunity to give God praise. And Sister Jeanette had another engagement. That's why she
got on. Well, I certainly have enjoyed you all, and I tell you, we're on this line. We just commemorated 1-year anniversary on Sunday, December the 9th, on Blog Talk Radio, and God is just moving. I tell you what, I'm in awe when I look back and think about what God has done to over 13,000 souls in this 12-month period. And I'm still excited. I feel more rejuvenated than I've ever felt in my life. And, you know, I'm on this line Monday through Friday, and we just like to invite the listeners to tune in Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 3 o'clock Central Time and 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And also, we're on the line at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 10 a.m. Eastern for 30 minutes corporate prayer on Sunday morning. So before you go to your houses of worship, you can come on the line and lift up the name of Jesus and give God some praise. And Minister Burns, we didn't have testimony service, but I asked all of the pastors and the leaders to stand up and tell us who they were. And the first pastor was a female pastor, and she began to testify. And so it just trickled down, and everybody else that I introduced, they gave a little testimony. So I said, okay. And that's how the conference started on that Friday. So I tell you, the people were blessed, and I believe the relationships that they formed will last forever right here in this city. and also in the Bay Area. So we're just thankful for what God is doing. You know, can't nobody do it like Jesus. Okay, and if you just take his lead and be willing to just submit to the leading of the Lord, I believe that you will be able to be happy. You will be able to even go further than what you even imagine. And I just see this segment going a little bit further. I see the lines loaded where you won't be able to open up the lines and get a comment or anything from some of the callers and the listeners. So God is doing something great in the lives of his people. So I'm just thankful that you have taken this segment. And, of course, I've been encouraging people on the West Coast to get up, make a sacrifice. And after you've done about 60 minutes, go on back to bed. You know, that, hey, we make sacrifices for everything. And it's funny because our destiny focus this week has been love requires sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And as I listened to this author today, you know, that there was many sacrifices made in that marriage for her to even get to the point where she wanted to share what she had went through with the world. So, you know, that requires some sacrificing, and I'm not married, but I've been there. But anyway, just to hear her expound and to hear you talk about your marriage, and, you know, it's just very enlightening and very encouraging for our listeners and those that are in marriages, and, you know, they don't know if they're going to continue on or if they're just going to throw in the towel. It could have been, she could have easily given up with, you know, her husband and both of them being in adulterous affairs. You know, it takes something. You got to have the love of God embedded in your heart to get through those difficult times.
Oh, yeah.
So we thank God for you, Minister.
Oh, thank God. And well, we still have a couple of minutes so we can continue to talk. But I just am so proud, like I was telling Jeanette, I'm just so proud of her just seeing her in the church. And she was raised in the church. She was a pew baby. So for her to be able to, you know, when we're steeped, as they say, when we're steeped in church, I won't say in God, in church, you know, sometimes we are afraid to share, you know, what we've gone. That's not something that's done in the church, you know. Like we were saying, you weren't on when we first started, but she was saying how, you know, all. She and her husband, I don't know if you heard this part, she and her husband had gone to different people to ask them, you know, to help them. And it was like taboo. Nobody could help them, you know, because everybody is so secretive about what's happening in their marriage. And even with my husband and our godchildren and our children, just, you know, they call him the perfect dad, you know. But even in our relationship, you know, we have issues. You know, we have issues, and they're not all my issues. But we've been so afraid to share that, you know, to share that. And it has hurt, I believe, the church in a lot of ways. Because marriage that might have been able to be saved because nobody was there to offer them aid and to say, yes, I've been through this, and, you know, let me help you. It's like AA, like Alcoholic Anonymous. They don't just send you out there. They bring you into the program, and then they give you somebody that you can talk to when you have a problem. But we haven't done that in the church because we don't want anybody to see our flaws. So I'm thanking the Lord that Jeanette, you know, was able to, and that's going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's going to help a lot of marriages, you know, to make it.
Amen. Now, that was another call on your line from your area code. Was that your husband or someone else?
Yeah, that was my husband. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you need to say something.
But he's gone now. He's actually okay. Gone. He said something in the beginning. He got on it.
Okay.
We were talking about what happened in Connecticut. And,
okay.
So tragic, you know.
Yes,
so
Lord, geez, I was at a funeral yesterday, and we hadn't even heard when the funeral was over. That's when we heard about the Connecticut shooting, because I had someone else hosting my stead yesterday. We went to a young man's funeral, 18 years old. He was shot in the head, and somebody threw him in a field. And I tell you, just so heartbreaking. And when we got out the funeral, I tuned into the broadcast, and I had Evangelist Joshua standing in my stead, and she began to talk about praying for the families in Connecticut, and we didn't have a clue what she was talking about because we were in the funeral during the time it happened. So you know how you can have so many things going on and yet you not even know what's going on?
Right.
That's the kind of day I had yesterday. So when we heard that, we were trying to figure out what happened. And we began, one of my friends and I, we were together, and I said, well, let's catch the news on this radio while I was driving. And that's how we heard about the incident and the terrible tragedy in Connecticut. I tell you, that's why we need to pray with our children and our families. You never know when you're leaving out of the door. You never know if that's your last goodbye. You never know what's going to occur. I'm sure none of those parents woke up yesterday morning knowing that they would be met with such a terrible tragedy and the loss of their children and family members is just terrible.
It is. And that we were saying about the on Facebook, a lot of people are posting, you know, about prayer in the schools, and my husband and I were saying that we may never be able to overcome that. I think it's a law that they can have prayer. We may never be able to overcome that, but if we teach our children how to pray, if we pray over our children, if we give them the tools that they need, then prayer will be in the school. It won't be a ceremonial prayer, but it will be in the school. We just, you know, just our prayers and our supplications to God is going out over the, you know, into God for those families. I can't even imagine how it would feel to lose. He went into the kindergarten class purposely and shot those babies. Now, you know that was a demon. I used to tell the boys, when they were younger, I said, you know what? I said, the enemy, when people do crazy things like that, that is the devil. I said, because they'll wake up out of that, and then they'll say, what have I done? And you'll see people, and they're like dazed over, like, I did that? I don't remember that. And when they say they don't remember, because they were taken over.
Yeah.
We think that we're not living in a spiritual world, but we live in this is a spiritual world.
Amen.
It is a spiritual, and it is divided. And the devil. But if we equip our children, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. If we equip our children with the tools that they need, they will be able to withstand. Because the Bible says that 1,000 will fall by my right hand, and 10,000 by my left, but it won't come to to me.
It won't come by me.
That's the word. But you know, if our children don't know how to pray and get a prayer through, you know, then they're in the same shape as the world. They're in the same shape as the world. I don't want to preach this morning, but I just so devastated, you know, by the enemy's attack on our world. And I was listening to Bishop Bloomer last night, and he had a prophetess on, and she was saying how I lost my train of thought, but as they were talking, she was just expounding on that when 9/11, that's what it is, thank you, Lord, when 9/11 came, it opened a portal, shall I say, to terrorism. And that's what we're experiencing in our schools. And we as the saints of God have got to come together and pray. Adrian, it's a lost art.
True.
It is. That weapon, that is our weapon, and we have lost it. We're so busy that we won't take the time to pray.
And that's our subject. You just gave us a subject for next week. Prayer is a weapon.
Prayer is
a weapon.
So, listening audience, until next week, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimonies. And you can go into the archives of New Destiny Ministries, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and stroll down to today's date or any date. But you can listen to any of the previous broadcast, the preaching from the week, or the prayer also on Sundays. You can listen to all of it and be blessed. You'll be blessed by what you will hear on the archive messages. So until next week, God bless you. This is your home, Billy. I love you with the love of Jesus. Bye-bye.